Srutam etan maya purvam jnanam vijnana samyutam dharmam bhagavatam shudham narada deva darshanat. Prahlad Maharaj continued, I received this knowledge from the great Saint Narada, who was always engaged in devotional service. This knowledge, which is called Bhagavad Dharma, is fully scientific. It is based on logic and philosophy, and it is free from all material contamination. We are reading this evening from the 7th canto, 6th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here, Narada Muni has just instructed his classmates about the science of the Absolute Truth. He has explained to them the difference between the body and the soul, and that from the very beginning of human life, we should develop our Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friends that they should chant the holy names of the Lord. They should not simply waste their lives in mundane education. And his friends replied that later we can do this, but at this particular time we're children, we should play. Kaumara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlaban manusan janmatar apyatruvam arthadam. Prahlad says from the earliest time of childhood, this is the most important and critical time of our life to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And then Prahlad Maharaj spoke so convincingly to them. And they were amazed. Prahlad, where did you hear all this knowledge from? You were born in the house of Hiranyakashipu. And you're only 5 years old. And for all these 5 years, certainly your father, who is an enemy of Vishnu, would never teach you the science of surrender and devotion. And you have the same teachers as us, Sanda and Amarka. Where have you learned this science from? And Prahlad in this verse is explaining that he received this knowledge in the womb of his mother, from his spiritual master, Narada Muni. And because he heard submissively, this is a very important point. When he was in the womb of his mother, the demigods kidnapped the wife of Hiranyakashipu, and they decided that when the child is born, they would kill it, because the offspring of such a demon may be as dangerous as him. But Prahlad, although he was in the womb of a demoniac woman, coming from the seed of a demoniac man, he was a Mahabhagavat. And Narada Muni, he came to the demigods and they said, please, this child is a great devotee of Vishnu. Because he was a great sadhu, immediately the demigods respected what he said and offered their obeisances to the child in the womb and circumambulated it. And then Narada Muni took that woman to his hermitage and instructed her, and she listened. But when she came back to the hermitage, or not to the hermitage, to the palace of Hiranyakashipu, due to his bad association, she forgot everything. But Prahlad remembered those words. And because he heard those words submissively from his Gurudev, and he was willing to live by them, even at the risk of his life, he is celebrated as the greatest of all devotees. But even at the time when Nrsimhadev appeared before Prahlad, Prahlad simply said, "I have done nothing. It is all by the mercy of my spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni. He has saved me from this vicious cycle of birth and death. It is by his causeless mercy only that he has rescued me from the terrible pains and sufferings of sense enjoyment and material bondage." This is the nature of a true devotee. In this regard, there is initiations tomorrow. I would like to speak briefly this evening about the perfect example of a disciple toward his spiritual master. The other night, there was an engagement ceremony, preparations for a wedding, and we explained how the Supreme Lord, Krishna himself, appeared in the guise of a devotee to teach us perfect devotion from every order of life. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Avatar, in the role of a devotee, taught us how to be a perfect grihastha in every sense by his example. He also taught us later on in his life how to be the most perfect and pure sannyasi in the renounced order of life. When he was young, he taught how to be the most perfect and obedient student. Anyone who wants to advance from any ashram, from any position in devotional service, simply have to follow in the footsteps of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Nimai Pandit, he was the best student. He was best student of his teacher, Ganga Das Pandit. He was the favorite in every respect. How he studied his books, how he learned every subject matter every day so perfectly, how disciplined he kept himself. And when he was married, how pure, how selfless, how charitable, how he always kept Krishna in the center between his wife and himself in every occasion, how he entertained sadhus and great devotees of the Lord every day. And then, at the early age of 24, when he took sannyas, how he lived so strictly by every detail of principle of the sannyas ashram, impeccable in character. But Lord Chaitanya also taught us how to be the perfect disciple. This example we should study very carefully. Ishwara Puri was the most beloved disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri took initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya, one of the four authorized Vaishnava Sampradayas. He had many great, great disciples, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Advaita Acharya, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. But of all of his disciples, one who was most special was Srila Ishwara Puri, because he chose to render the most humble services to his Gurudev. When his Guru was very old, when he was on his deathbed, Ishwara Puri stayed with him 24 hours a day. He would constantly sing the names of Krishna and describes the glories of Krishna, always immersed in reminding his Gurudev of Krishna. And in the meanwhile, accepting the menial services of cleaning the stool and urine from his body with his own hand. And because Madhavendra Puri was so pleased with his disciple, he gave him this benediction. He said, may Krishna be pleased to grant you prema bhakti, pure love of God. And one who receives such a heartfelt blessing from a great personality is the most fortunate person in all the world. And God himself, as Lord Chaitanya, wanted to teach that anyone who receives such heartfelt blessings due to being the menial servant of a great soul, he wants to be the servant of that person. Nimai Pandit, he was the most learned student in all the world. He defeated the most powerful scholars of philosophy and rhetoric when he was living in Navadvip Dham. At that time, the great devotee, Ishwarapuri, happened to come to Navadvip. He was very famous amongst Vaishnavas. Everyone knew his celebrated name. But when he came, he did not announce himself. He simply appeared like an ordinary man. He was staying at the house of Gopinatha Acharya. At that time, Advaita Acharya would invite the various devotees to his home throughout the day, and they would just have wonderful kirtans and Krishna katha. One day Ishwarapuri came. While Advaita Acharya was doing his duties around the house, doing his seva, the other devotees were also present. Ishwarapuri simply sat on the dirt in the courtyard, very quietly, saying nothing. Advaita Acharya, by looking at his dress, thought that perhaps he's a Mayavad sannyasi. So he didn't say anything to him. But Advaita Acharya noticed that there was a certain light, a certain effulgence that was emanating from this person that was so attractive. And he couldn't understand. He kept looking over to him. Finally, Advaita Acharya asked him, can you tell me who you are? And Ishwarapuri replied, I am a very lowly sudra who is very sinful and wicked in heart. At that time, hearing it was spoken with such genuine sincerity and humility, Mukunda began to sing. He began to sing the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. And as he sang, Ishwarapuri, in the ecstasy of love, hearing his beautiful, beautiful narration, tears began to flow from his eyes and he fell unconscious. And then when he became awake again, the devotees could see that this is genuine symptoms of divine ecstasy. It was not an imitation. These devotees were expert. It takes one to know one. A neophyte devotee really cannot tell whether a person is pretending or truly revealing symptoms of ecstatic love. These days, most people are pretenders. They are called sahajyas. They like to get popularity and fame and recognition. Sometimes they cry and they tremble and they can make their hair stand on end and they roll in the ground and everything else. And an ordinary person, how does he know whether it's true ecstasy or not? The fact is, an ordinary man cannot know. Only a very, very highly elevated personality who is experienced in these ecstasies of love can really be able to discriminate. And it is for this reason that for the general population, generally, great devotees restrain from exhibiting any such symptoms before anybody who's not a pure Vaishnava. Even if they feel these emotions, they will struggle to keep them in and not reveal them to the people of the world. Because if they reveal them to people in the world, then people will take this as the standard of advancement, and then pretenders do it. They'll think, oh, yes. In other words, it's acknowledging, it's giving authority through ecstatic symptoms as a symptom of advancement to people who cannot even tell whether they are or not. Therefore, generally, great devotees of the Lord, maybe in the most intimate circles of Paramahamsas, they will exhibit such symptoms. Otherwise, they will simply speak the truth and live according to the truth and attract people by that. Those people who are attracted by hearing the truth and seeing the truth, they will be actual authorized disciples from an actual authorized guru. But these were all Mahabhagavats. And when they saw Ishwarapuri's condition, they immediately recognized, this must be Ishwarapuri. Nobody else can have such love except that divine messenger of Madhavendra Puri. And when they came to celebrate this great occasion. Anyways, the devotees were so happy. They were all just swimming in the oceans of love to be in the association of such a devotee. Because for the Vaishnavas, there is no greater pleasure than being in the association of an advanced soul who has surrendered his life at the feet of Krishna. So anyways, one day Ishwarapuri was returning back to the house of Gopinathacharya, walking by down the footpath. And at that time, Nimai Pandit and some of his students were also walking on the same footpath. And Nimai Pandit, upon seeing this great, great devotee of the Lord, he bowed down at his lotus feet. Ah. Ishwarapuri, upon seeing the beauty of Nimai, his heart began to melt in ecstasy, but he didn't know why. So he asked this young boy, who are you? What are you studying? You have so many books. And one of his students said, this is Nimai Pandit, he is our teacher. Ishwarapuri had heard, oh, you are the Nimai Pandit? That great, great scholar? Nimai Pandit, he bowed down at the feet of Ishwarapuri. He said, I am only your lowly servant. I humbly beg that you come to my home and bless my house with your lotus feet. Ishwarapuri was so attracted that Nimai took him by the hand and brought him home. And Sachimata, Lakshmi Priya, they cooked a wonderful feast of prasad. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nimai, personally with his own hands served his Guru Maharaj. He also washed the feet of his Guru Maharaj and took the water and put it on his head and sprinkled on the head of all of his family members. Ishwarapuri was living at Gopinathacharya's house, and he was writing a book of the name Krishna Lilamrita. And Nimai's best friend, Gadadhar Pandit, was coming to him every day to study about what is pure bhakti. And Ishwarapuri had such great love for Gadadhar Pandit. He was so humble, he was so submissive. He was always so anxious to serve, although he was also an avatar of Sri Radharani. Nimai Pandit would come every day to also hear from Ishwarapuri and take lessons. One day, Ishwarapuri said, you are a very, very great scholar, good pundit. I am writing this book called Krishna Lilamrita, and I would humbly request if you would go over it and correct it of any mistakes, because I am not a very learned man, and you are very learned. And Nimai Pandit heard this. He said, how could there be any mistake in your writing? You are a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. pure devotee of Lord Krishna writes on the basis of bhakti, not on the basis of mundane rules and regulations. The alphabet of A, B, C, D, E. He said, these are all mundane. But when they are connected in Krishna consciousness by such a pure devotee, they become completely spiritualized and above and beyond any material consideration. Therefore, such a pure devotee, even if he makes apparent mistakes, it is never a mistake at all because it is perfectly situated in pure love of God. And anyone who, by material calculations, finds a fault or a mistake in such a pure devotee, that person is most unfortunate and condemned. Therefore, I accept that whatever you have written is of the highest standard of perfection and divine love. Ishwara Puri, his heart was thrilled in ecstasy to see here Nimai glorify the principles of bhakti so wonderfully. But so humble, he never considered himself a pure devotee. He said, you may say like this, but still I request that you correct whatever mistakes are here. So one day Nimai came back and he said, I have found a mistake. He said, this particular word that you have used, it should be a different word instead. Ishwara Puri very humbly, he said, thank you very much. And then he began to very, very deeply think about this. And the next day Nimai Pandit came. And Ishwara Puri said, actually, you have said that this is not the right use of the word, but actually it is. And he quoted according to Shastra that it was actually the perfect use of the word. And Nimai, very humbly and quietly, accepted defeat from Ishwara Puri. Although he defeated Keshava Kashmiri, who was the greatest pundit in all the world, through rhetoric, logic, and argument, when his guru told him that you are wrong, he accepted, I am wrong. This was the nature of his love and his submissiveness. Sometime later, Ishwara Puri left and began to travel to various holy places and ultimately came to Gaya, where he had an ashram. So it is explained that Nimai Pandit, under the excuse of performing the Shraddha for his recently departed father, Jagannath Mishra, he took some of his students to Gaya Dham. As he was on his way to Gaya, Nimai, setting perfect example in every standard, he was just glorifying the attributes of this holy place and how important it is to go to such holy places like Gaya Dham. And on the way, just upon seeing Gaya coming and thinking of this holy place, he fell into ecstatic love. And it manifested as a very high burning fever. He appeared very ill to his disciples. And they didn't know what to do. They were thinking, should we get medicine? What should we do to save our teacher? They loved him very dearly. And he said to them, there is only one thing that can cure me of this severe fever. And that is, you must get water that has washed the feet of devotees, devotees of the Lord, and you let me drink that. That is the only medicine that will cure me. So his students found some Brahmin devotees and washed their feet and brought the water, and he drank it, and immediately he was cured. Before that, they tried all other types of medicines and formulas. Nothing worked. He wanted to show that the fever of material existence can only be extinguished by the mercy of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Then he entered into Gaya Dham. And he came to the temple of Gadadhar, where to this very day the lotus feet of Vishnu are still present. And when he saw those lotus feet, he became overwhelmed with spiritual joy. And then he heard the Brahmins and the Pujaris all around glorifying the lotus feet of Vishnu. There were so many garlands decorating these lotus feet, they practically went to the ceiling. And there was incense burning and sandalwood everywhere. Such worship, such devotion. And the Brahmins were chanting that these lotus feet, it is by the touch of them that has made the Ganges so holy that it can purify all the three worlds. And it is these lotus feet, because they touch the Ganges, that Lord Shiva accepts the waters upon his head. And these are the feet that Bali Maharaj, that great Mahabhagavat, put on his head and surrendered everything. That anyone who hears the glories of these lotus feet or sees them will be relieved from all the sufferings of material existence. As he heard this, for the first time in the Leela of Lord Gauranga, he showed the symptoms of ecstatic love. Tears began to flow profusely from his lotus eyes, his lips began to tremble, his voice faltered, and just at that moment, Ishwarapuri appeared in the temple. And Lord Gaurasundar fell at the feet of Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri lifted him up and embraced him. And they soaked each other with their tears. Lord Gauranga said that I have come to the holy place of Gaya, and by the performing the Shraddha, one of my departed ancestors will be purified and delivered. But because you are a pure devotee, just by seeing you and receiving your blessings, unlimited of my departed ancestors will not only be purified, but they will go back to Godhead. Wherever the lotus feet of a pure devotee is, that place is the holiest of all places. And because of your presence here, Gaya has become most holy. Therefore, I surrender at your lotus feet. Please accept me eternally as your servant. Ishwarapuri, upon hearing these words, he said, I am most fortunate. He said, you know, something very mysterious took place. When I first met you in Navadvip, ever since that time, I cannot forget you. I'm constantly thinking of you. And every time I think of you, I get the same feeling of ecstatic love as when I think of Krishna. And today I had a dream where people gathered all around me with flowers. And I realized that something most auspicious would happen today. And now I know that my dream has come true. Nimai Pandit asked Ishwarapuri, please initiate me. I want to be your eternal servant and your disciple. Please give me the mantra. Ishwarapuri replied, you want me to give you the mantra? I will give you my very life. Soon after that, in an auspicious time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gaurasundar, to teach his example of how to approach a spiritual master, He bowed at his Gurudev and with great humility and submissiveness accepted initiation, diksha. And when he started chanting this mantra in a secluded place, he became so ecstatic with love, he became like a madman. And you know, as you're making spiritual progress, sometimes things happen in your life that you cannot understand. So you must submissively approach your guru and ask, what's happening? So Nimai approached, Gaurasundara approached, Guru Maharaj, I think I'm becoming mad. Ever since I've been chanting this mantra, Ishwarapuri told him, actually before this, I'm sorry, he told him, there's no need for you to scrutinizingly study Vedanta. He said, because you are a fool. In fact, Lord Gaurasundara was repeating to another, Prakashananda Saraswati, about this relationship. He said, I was such a great fool that my guru told me, you are a fool. There's no use in you studying Vedanta scrutinizingly. You'll never understand. You just chant the holy names. So he began to chant. And then when he became mad, he approached his guru and said, what is happening to me? And my Guru Maharaj told me that I am very pleased with you. You have attained the perfection of love of God. Actually, when there was a large assembly of devotees in Atlanta, Georgia, somebody raised their hand after Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj's class, and said, what service pleases you the most? And the nature of devotees is sometimes they are competitive. There were book distributors there. They were waiting for Prabhupada to say, to distribute my books. And there was people from New Vrindavan there. They were waiting to protect the cows and build temples. They were just... And there were sannyasis there. They were thinking he will say to renounce everything and preach. So everyone was waiting. And Prabhupada very expertly hesitated for quite a while just to build suspense. Everyone was hoping and thinking, whatever I'm doing, Prabhupada will say that is the best service. And ultimately, Srila Prabhupada replied, he said, the service that pleases me best is when you love Krishna. So Ishwarapuri showed, you have pleased me very much, because by sincerely chanting the holy name, you have developed love of Krishna. And he told him, now you take the name of Krishna and you preach wherever you go. You deliver all humanity with the name of Krishna. Go out and preach. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the order of his guru as his life and soul. He revealed a complete transformation in his consciousness and only revealed this preaching mission of the holy name after he met his spiritual master and was initiated. Before that, he kept his whole lila of who he was and what his mission secret. Just to show that love of God and the empowerment to preach comes by the mercy of Guru Maharaj, who is in the parampara. One day in Gaya, Lord Gaurasundara, Haribo Jai Sri Radha Gopinath. Should we chant for them and then continue the story? We can turn these lights off and we'll sing bhajan for about 10 minutes, then I'll finish the story. Where did we leave off? Acha. So, Lord Gaurasundar, while he was still in Gaya, he was cooking prasad for himself with his own hands in the little room he was staying. And he was just finished preparing and everything was ready for him to eat. And right at that time, Ishwarapuri came to his home. And Ishwarapuri jokingly said, "It appears I have come just at the right time." And Lord Gaurasundar said, "Yes, please come in and take prasad." And Ishwarapuri said, "But you divide it in two, we will take together." He said, no, you must let me serve you with my hands. He said, "You take everything I have cooked." Because he only cooked enough for one person. Ishwarapuri was insisting, "Let us divide it." No. So Gaurasundar was personally serving with his own hands his devotee. Meanwhile, the goddess of fortune secretly appeared in the kitchen and cooked again for Lord Chaitanya. And after he just served with such love and devotion and such hospitality, his Guru Maharaj, then he put him down to rest. He gave him garlands and sandalwood and chewing spices. And after fully receiving, honoring, worshipping, and serving his guru, then he took prasad. His order that he traveled from place to place to preach the glories of the chanting of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya, with that mission as his life and soul, he left and went back to Navadvipa. After departing from Gaya, at another time, Lord Chaitanya went on a pilgrimage to the birthplace of Ishwarapuri, his spiritual master. That place is known as Kumara Hut. And when he came to that birthplace, he was choked up in ecstatic love and he fell to the ground, thinking of the mercy of his guru upon him and his indebtedness to his guru. He could not utter anything out of his mouth except Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri. And he explained that the dust of this land is the most holy and sacred place in all the universe, because this is the place where my Gurudev appeared in this world. And he took that dust, after rolling in it in divine love, he took it and he tied it with his external cloth. And every day he would take a morsel of that dust, that dirt, and he would eat it. And as he would eat it, with tears of love in his eyes, he would say that this dirt from the holy place of Kumara Hut, this dirt is the treasure of my heart. It is my life. It is my salvation. It is my very soul. In this way, Lord Gauranga taught us, because Ishwarapuri was such a humble, menial, and loving servant of his guru, he was worthy of taking shelter of. And Lord Gaurachandra thought that such a humble servant of the Lord in the previous acharyas, we should be so humble. We should dedicate our very life and make his words our very life and soul. Throughout Mahaprabhu's life, he worshipped the dust from the feet of his guru. Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushaka sinantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. To have this type of clear vision and determination is the real price of receiving Krishna's supreme mercy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to teach us by his example how to be a pure devotee. And through this process of honoring and worshipping the Guru and the Vaishnavas, only are we entitled to properly chant the holy name of God. This is Mahaprabhu's teaching. And in this spirit, when we come together to chant the holy names, then we can truly attract the pleasurable mercy of Krishna in our lives. Then our life is perfect. So in this wonderful Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya that we are coming into by the causeless mercy of the Lord, we should know that this is the essence and this is the sustenance of our lives. To submissively serve Guru, to humbly honor and worship the Vaishnavas, and to chant the holy names. That's all. That is the conclusion of all our philosophy. That is the goal of our life. Simply to serve our Guru, to worship the Vaishnavas, to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.